Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of Felt Cute, Zeit Delete Later. That is courtesy of at Daily Zeitgeist. Nope, that wasn't the name of the person. Maybe old Greg? I don't know. I'm old Jack. I don't know how the technology works.
Don't ask me to back up anything I say. I don't know where I get these ideas.
At another time, and thank you then. In the meantime, Miles, we got to tell these people what's trending this Friday afternoon. Ellen is trending because there are rumors that she might be quitting. Brad Garrett from Everybody Loves Raymond came out and said, everybody don't love Ellen. he just came out and said that she's notoriously mean to everybody.
And that he's the tall one,
the tall guy with the real low voice.
Hey, come on, Ray. Yeah.
Anyways, he said she's a monster. He's the 100th person to say that. Her former staffers are all coming out and saying, because her apology was basically like, I let my staff get away with it for far too long. So, and that's on me. And all her staff was like, actually, you're the monster. We were just trying to, like, you know.
Starts at the top, madame.
And also she, like, all by all accounts, like, the weird stuff that her staff was doing was being like, hey, you can't look at Ellen or else she'll lose her mind.
Right.
That's not on the staff. That is totally, fully, 100% on you. Anyways, you know, she's going to the producers who make lots of money off of her at the company that makes lots of money off of her and being like, people are mean.
Oh, just because of that investigation, huh? An investigation starts, you're like, I'm quitting.
Yeah.
That's always a good sign.
Yeah, good sign that there's nothing to see here.
Wait, hold on. Someone thinks I committed a murder, I'm leaving the country.
Wait, why? Just...
I don't know, but fuck that.
Yeah, we were actually wondering, you know, there were rumors that Portia de Rossi was leaving Ellen, and then those rumors just went away. And Portia started.
What happened to Anne Heche?
Whatever happened afterwards? To Anne Heche? We thought Anne Heche was the.
We didn't know what was going on. Was she the baddie or was it Ellen? We don't know. Now everything is upended. I feel like it's the beginning of a true crime podcast that will only lead in lawsuits.
Yeah, that's true. Fortunately, there are too many people speculating about people Ellen has killed. For her to sue us, famous last words.
Although you never know, she could be very, she's so petty, it's like Napster.
Well, she is like gang, too many so of this us. Might bother her, but we'll see.
I know, even after we dragged her for like palling around with the war criminal at a football game. But
she was like, I took that to heart, guys.
Yeah, but you know what, I still stuck around.
Good stand-up, though. I was always a fan of her stand-up. NHL is trending. I did not know the NHL was back. Did they kick off recently? Or skate off or face off?
Face off, Jack. Yeah. And I think a lot of people, first it was an exhibition game. I mean, it's going to start back up, I believe, tomorrow, actually, I think is when the openers are happening. But during the game between Toronto and Edmonton, there were people that were like standing for the, you know, the national anthems and like another, there are people like with their arms locked together. Eric Trump was just like, thank you, NHL, for standing during the national anthem. But the reason it's also trending is because there are a lot of hockey fans themselves who back the Black Lives Matter movement and feel that it's important that the sport do a little bit more than just like whatever the bare minimum. Right. That they've been posting pictures of themselves saying like, well, if the league won't do it, I will kneel for the anthem, like wearing their like team's jerseys. So, you know, that's nice to see. For me, as a, you know, black hockey player in the 90s, right. I can tell you, it's for me personally, it's very heartening to see like hockey fans actually engage with this sort of social movement at this time, because it's definitely not the wokest environment I had been around as a kid.
No.
With that, it's good. I just think, you know, the fans... let people know. So just because the league isn't doing it, don't put me in that pile with them, because they stand with them. But yeah, a little bit of social media activism.
The two whitest places I've ever been in Los Angeles were a Phish concert and an NHL game. Just like 100% white people. So,
well, because that's like the one sport a lot of people of color don't think about, because A, it's prohibitively expensive a lot of the times if you don't live in a city that has a rink or something like that. And it's just that it doesn't seem like a sport that is very welcoming.
Right.
So, yeah. And I think that's what there is a lot of, I remember, especially in the buildup to the last election, like a Kings game in 2016 felt very much like, oh, this truly is like a conservative rallying point. Not to say, look, but I know plenty of liberal hockey fans. So I see y'all out there.
Oh, really? Like there were a lot of MAGA hats and shit at a Kings game?
I mean, like the trucks leaving.
Wow.
You're like, I see bumper stickers that are like, you know, early Tea Party, Thin Blue Line, et cetera, type stuff. So, you know, you kind of see where people are at.
The NBA came back last night. We talk about this a little bit on Monday's episode, but any impressions? Did you watch the game? Any thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I watched the Lakers-Clippers game. The Lakers, again, I'm really disappointed how weak the hair is on
what is
my
going
Lakers
on
team.
With
We got the worst hair.
LeBron
in the
just needs to bick it, man. He looks cool with his hair shaved.
I don't know if it's like, is it diminishing returns? Like, because he's got like the hair plugs that he's got to also.
Does he have
like
the hair plugs?
Science.
Or is he? Because it seems like it
or
might
graft,
be like the.
I don't know. Graft versus host.
It might be like glued on. Like, remember there was that time when Anthony Davis like pointed to his own hair and then LeBron like pulled down. It was like a glued on like wig thing.
Oh, maybe. Either way, it was a little distracting. But all that to say, the Western Conference Finals could be some of the most amazing basketball
the,
to watch, I feel like.
The Battle of LA was another good game, just like the last couple have been. Anthony Davis is just so good at basketball.
Unbelievable.
Reggie Miller.
I'm sorry for ever doubting that he would... I mean, like, I knew he was going to arrive and be Anthony Davis, but also just the way he plays with LeBron, too, it's just like,
they're so good together. Like, LeBron is, above everything else, just the smartest basketball player, like, ever. He, like, knows where things are going to be three steps ahead, and he was, like, willing to trade everything for AD because, like, I think he just knew, like, this dude is the truth.
Yeah, because if you focus on one, it's like you can't do both. Right. It's like we can beat a LeBron team, but then you bring AD in, like, okay, unless I'm bringing in my own like brute squad to do this, like it's very tough. And you know, the Clippers saw that. They saw a little bit of that, even though it was a close game.
The Clippers were without Lou Will, so they might get better. Yeah. The Lakers, first of all, the Clippers have Joakim Noah, who I thought was like in his mid-40s, but he's apparently 35 and looks pretty good out there. Like he just knows where to be and like how to move around the court.
Didn't he like blow his Achilles
tendon off? He blew it off. He doesn't have one anymore. It's just a...
Right. I feel like it was that floppy. Bad. It was a horrific...
Yeah, it was like foot stuff. And that sounds sexual. It was not sexual. It was just like foot injuries, which is really bad when you're 7 feet tall.
I remember I had a friend who... like a family friend who went to the United Nations High School that he went to. And I was just like, this kid doesn't do anything. Like, they just know. Like, he's just gonna be so good. Like, at basketball, like, they just, like, he doesn't just have to do anything. And also, I just remember my mom was like, is that Yannick Noah's son? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, of course, you like these like, you know, fancy French tennis players from the 80s and shit.
So. He was, like, world's most attractive man, like, in the 70s, right? Like, everybody loved him.
I just know every... Like, my mother, who is Japanese and knows nothing about basketball, was like some other... It's funny because the family friend who knew who, like, at the time, there's like this kid, Joakim, they were like, Yannick Noah's son goes to their high school. And mom was like, oh, Yannick Noah? And I'm like, Mom, please. Like, I get it. You got your eye on the prize.
Yeah. And Zion played and looked great, but limited minutes. So, but always exciting to... He looks like he... I always worry. It's not like watching like a big fragile dude who like falls down a lot because he's so athletic. But it's like the way, like his weight combined with his strength and agility, like doesn't look like it should be physically possible. And so like every time he cuts, I'm always worried that his like foot is gonna fall off. Like it happened. Like his just like burst into multiple pieces in college. So.
Yeah, it's like he has like supercar power, like built on like a Honda Civic chassis.
Right.
Not that like that's how he's built, but it's almost like there's a mismatch in what this thing is capable of. And I think what the limitations are physically. But I don't know, maybe he'll get through it. But it's watching that minute management happen, like that was already happening before the break. And then now even into it, I'm like, well, was he playing this whole time?
Right. What's happening?
Like what?
But I'm curious. That was a question. My friends and I were all Texans like, shouldn't he? Healed up by now,
fine,
but I mean,
maybe it is because they know he's too powerful that he for his own good, like we have to limit his minutes if we want to get like a sustained career.
They couldn't even play him, like it was end of the game coming down to the last possession and they couldn't put him in, and he's their best player or second best.
Yikes.
You know, Brandon Ingram is gonna be a huge star, apparently. I didn't realize how good of a season he was having. But he's former Laker, got traded away for AD.
I mean, in that sense, like, what can you do? Because many of like as fans were like, oh, you don't want to like go. Like Brandon, if he makes good on the talent we're seeing, like this is someone we want to have. But cut to us with AD, and I'm like, who?
That's right. And then Epstein is trending. You know, as he has been. They unsealed unredacted documents from Virginia Giuffre's, I think it was like a 2011 court appearance. And it's a lot of stuff that, like, if you've been paying attention, you already knew. She provided a list of, she was asked in the deposition to name the, quote, politically connected and financially powerful people that Ghislaine Maxwell told you to go have sex with. And her list included Prince Andrew, Alan Dershowitz, former New Mexico governor Bill Richardson, New York hedge fund.
Is that new?
No, I knew that he was implicated.
Oh, okay.
New York hedge fund manager Glenn Dubin, artificial intelligence pioneer Marvin Minsky, and former model agency manager Jean-Luc Brunel. And then there was also, she reported that she saw Clinton on Little St. Jeff with two young women. And she asked Epstein what Clinton was doing there. And he laughed it off and said, well, he does owe me a favor. And she said she doesn't know if it was a joke or if he was serious, but not a good look for Bill Clinton, former president to be on Pedophile Island with King Pedophile and two young women. Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of the coverage of this is conservatives being like, well, what about now? You gonna stick it to Bill Clinton?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Like, yeah, dude. Is this mother- of course.
There, get, drag his ass out. What the fuck are you talking about? And also, then you have to do the same with Donald Trump, people of the fair people of the right. He's got so many photos of them together. It's all just stinks like shit. I think that's why it's so interesting to, no matter what your political disposition is, it's like there's some fuckery going down. Mm. And let's get to the bottom of it. And it's like, I guess some people want to, I guess if you're very narrowly looking at like using this to nail Bill Clinton, sure. But it's, this is like a whole fucking thing.
Right.
It's a whole ass problem. And we'll see what comes of that. But God, I mean, even like in that documentary, like there's so many people who are like, yeah, I saw Bill Clinton there. Oh, but I didn't see him do nothing. It's like, okay, right. Uh-huh. You could have just said you saw him there. But I like that you went out of your way, because then like even Alan Dershowitz's participation in that Netflix thing was just so eerie. So yeah, let's let all of the truths come out, because that's how we move forward. We don't need to protect these people.
Dershowitz was trending when the documents first hit the internet, because it's pretty detailed about the fact that she was, you know, made to have sex with him multiple times. Which, right. Again, we knew from the documentary and from lots of articles, but I think people were, you know, he's been protesting too much on social media, like just being like, I swear it up and down, give me a lie detector test, shoot me up with truth serum, put Wonder Woman's lasso of truth around me, all things that you can't possibly do, that don't work.
Jeez.
Anyways, that guy... total definition of the word ghoul, but so are people on the left and the right.
Hey, it shows you being a fucking creep predator has no political ideology. Right. You know what I mean?
You were saying, though, like when you looked into this, there was just all sorts of Q stuff everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, but it's just funny. Like when this information comes out, no matter whatever your worldview is, there's a way to just punch that into your narrative and be like, yep, and this ties with it. It's like, right. I think really we just want to see Ghislaine Maxwell like actually stand trial and make it through and see like where that goes and not have any kind of foul play.
That would be nice.
We'll see. She's claiming her innocence.
So the other I think it'll be revelation was that Dershowitz was like intimately involved, not intimately, wrong word choice, but he was like the legal counsel who fought to get that Florida agreement that was like unprecedented, where Epstein got, you know, a year in prison where he was able to leave anytime he wanted, and where it specifically said that anybody who was like, who might also be implicated in any of the accusations would be like, they wouldn't be able to prosecute them, which was like the detail that everyone was like, that's kind of unprecedented and weird. And like, it's weird that anybody would have gotten that. And it turns out Dershowitz was fighting for that, because he was fighting for his own.
That's him. Me too.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right, guys. Well, we hope you have a great weekend. That's going to do it for the week. We'll be back on Monday with a whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other, be kind to yourselves, wash your hands, wear a mask, stay at home, don't do nothing about white supremacy. We'll talk to y'all on Monday.
Nope.
Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.